Good morning, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus. This is one of my favorite older songs that we used to sing in back in my home church. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. On the last, I heard about a mansion that he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Well, it is good to be with you guys this morning, and as we enter into this Easter season upon us, just remember this verse: behold the Lamb, take away the sins of the whole world. See him there, the great I am, a crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross and lifted up on Calvary's hill. We curse your name, and even still you bore our shame and paid the cost. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Behold the Lamb. Oh, behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. Oh, we sing your praise, endless hallelujah to your holy name. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. Sacrifice for every sin, our Savior died, the Lord of life. He can't be contained. No, our God has risen from the grave. That's right. Yes, our God has risen from the grave. Story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. Oh, we sing your praise, endless hallelujah to your holy name. Jesus, you will reign. We'll see your face bright as the sun, and we'll bow before, oh, the King of Kings. Oh God, forever we will sing, behold the Lamb. Oh, behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. Oh, behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore.
I know you won't be able to see it real good, but you can kind of see a little bit about what it is. It's a picture of when we broke ground on the property here. This is actually, it says 13-year anniversary. So this was March the 1st, 2020. It was a bulletin for that day. And I got in here looking. Actually, I was going through some of the, I was rummaging through some of the classrooms. And I found it in one of the classrooms over here. Somebody just had it that day. And it was meant for me to find that. It's the only bulletin I found. And I wasn't even looking for it, but it's like it made its way to me. God intended for it to come to me. And I look on here and I see all kind of events talking about things that were planned. Couples night out, church anniversary dinner, Wednesday night stuff, youth trip. We're planning to go to the Ark. Camp Cove was planning to start March 18th. All of those things. All those things on March the 1st of last year we had scheduled. And been in here 13 years. We're excited about that. Literally, our world changed. I think the next week. I don't know how quick after that, but it literally changed forever. So here we are now, a year later, 14 years. Hey, we're still here. We're still here. We're here. And God has not changed. God hadn't changed what He's all about. God has a vision. He has a plan. He has a purpose for the church. He has a lot of things. We weren't able to do any of those things that year. Although, you know, those trips were canceled. Camp Cove had to be put on hold. A lot of things we envisioned to be able to do that year, we weren't able to do. And it saddened us, of course. It hurt us to not be able to be with each other. And I don't want to get back in that whole story again of the depression of 2020. But now we're here. What's the date here? March the 7th, 2021. Sun shining outside. We see warm weather's coming. And I'm just reminded of the fact that God has not left us. Amen. That He is here with us. And God has not changed. Though we had a difficult year, we had a difficult time. But God is all about seeing us expand and explode. God wants great things to happen out of this church. I'm excited to be a part of this church. I asked them to come up and speak because I wanted to reflect on what it had been like, especially at the old building, for those of you that weren't a part of that or maybe never got to come and visit us while we were there. Because the message today, not only is it the 14th year anniversary of being in the new building, but the message that we're going to look at in Deuteronomy chapter 10 today deals with kind of this subject. As Moses has those people gathered together, that younger group, and he's talking to them about getting over into that new land, that promised land that's set aside, he goes back and he reminisces just a little bit. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter number 10. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read some scripture from verse number 12 all the way to down to verse number 22, the end of the chapter. We're basically picking up where we left off last week. Verse number 12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him and to serve Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you among all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Be no more stiff-necked, for the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and He loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave and swear by His name. He is thy praise, and He is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for a multitude. Father, we're thankful again for your word, how precious it is to us today, especially as we read it on this anniversary day of being in this facility, this building, this place that you have given us and made it possible that we cannot just come here and stop. And we celebrate what you've done, but we don't want to just come here and stop and quit. We're using this, God, to spring to what's next. What is next for us? What do you have planned for the Cove? What ministries do you want to open up And what do you want us to be a part of, God, that we're not now? We're here, God, and we're willing to serve you. Speak to us. Just as you challenge those people through the voice of Moses, we pray that you challenge us here today. The world is changing. We're able to get out more. We're able to see each other more. Things are getting better as far as our connection to one another. And so, God, we want to take advantage of every opportunity that you have for us. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me and cleanse me, God, of all my unrighteousness, that you can be glorified through this message. Thank you for everything that's been done thus far. All those that have had part in the service, the songs, the testimonies. We're thankful, God. We're thankful that you love us, that you care for us, that you've forgiven us. Oh, how wonderful you are, how mighty and strong you are. Pray your blessings on the remainder of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. He talks to a group of people here, and I alluded to the fact that when Moses had this group of 20 and under, most of those had not experienced a lot of the things, especially hadn't experienced a lot of things that happened while they were in Egypt as far as the plagues. But some of the other things there, they were aware of. Some of them were very young when those things happened. Then you have some that were born after the Red Sea and after the fact. So he's got basically two different groups, kind of like us today. We got some folks that came over with us when we came over. Then we've got a lot more that have come on after we made our way over here. So what this building, what this facility means to you may have a little different perspective on where you were at. Were you here when it was built? If not, then you have a different look on what being able to come here and to worship, what it means to you. And so that's kind of where Moses is at, I believe. He's looking at a group of people that some experienced some things, some didn't, but he wants to get them encouraged and excited about not just the past, celebrate the past, but be excited and praying up for the future that God has for us. So in looking at that, last week kind of we saw a beautiful picture of salvation, I think, in Deuteronomy. It was wonderful how right in the middle there, I believe chapter 9, into chapter 10, that God just opened up a salvation story there of what it means and what it takes to be saved. So what we have here today, we're going to look at some things that we need to be aware of after we get saved. When you get saved, when you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, here's some things I need to be reminded of. Deuteronomy 10 and 14 says this: "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also and all that therein is." Verse 17 of chapter 10, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." We need to know God. I know that's kind of easy and simple. You think, well, because I'm saved, I do know God. I already know God. Well, it's one thing to know of God. It's something else to really know God, isn't it? You can have a cubicle beside somebody at work, and you say, "Do you know Stan?" "Oh, yeah, I know Stan. We worked beside each other for 30 years. And never know that Stan really liked to mountain climb. You can know people, or you can really know people. And I think that's what God's trying to get us to understand in knowing Him, in reminding us of how terrible He is, not terrible in a bad way, terrible in a good way, how mighty He is. He is the God of any little g God that's out there. He is God of every God. He is Lord of every Lord that there's going to be. He is mighty. He is strong. He has no equal. So we need to know that. We need to embrace that and believe that. I'm jumping back into Genesis chapter number 1. I want to read a few things to just remind us. Verse number 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Down to verse number 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide waters from waters." Verse 7, "And God made the firmament and divided the waters." Verse number 9, And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. So dry land started to appear. Verse number 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. Down to verse number 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let there be signs for the seasons and for the days of the year. Verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule by day, the lesser to rule by night. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life. Verse 21, and God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. Verse number 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, etc. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Did you get that? Created he them? He created male and female. God did that. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Isn't it good to go back and be reminded of that? Do we know that? Absolutely, I know that. I know that God did everything. But it does my heart good. It does me good to go back and to read that God made, God created, God said, God did this and God did that. Everything that we have become, God gave us life. He breathed life into Adam. When I was born, God breathed the breath of life into me. He's not stopped creating life. He creates life every time there's a precious child that is conceived. God is creating that life again. I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I didn't emerge from the water and grow legs and begin to walk.
Amen. That's right.
I know that God spoke. And that's what I believe. And I need to know that God. I know it's difficult. And I pray for our young adults that have to go away to a college that's teaching things that contradict the Word of God. I get it. I can imagine how difficult it is for you. And I want you to know that we pray for you, because I know it's getting more difficult to stand up and to be counted as a Christian. And the indoctrination that they hope takes place, it's not that they just want you to consider an alternate theory of how things developed. No, they want to brainwash you and indoctrinate you in what they're trying to tell you. Don't leave the Word of God. If I could give anybody advice, don't leave the Word of God. Believe this to be true. It may be an old book, it may be out of date, it may be out of place in today's society, but it still tells me about the one true God that created everything and the God that loves us and the only means of salvation for us. So we need to know God. What does that mean? Like I said earlier, it's not just hearing about somebody or having an acquaintance with somebody. It is literally knowing who God is. It is choosing to believe who God is. I can't make you believe in God, but I can encourage you to believe in God. It's a choice you have to make. You know, when Jesus came and he talked to Peter and asked Peter if he could use his boat to go out and to preach, and he went out and preached, and all the people heard him. You know, a lot of folks followed him, started believing him that day. And Jesus looked over at Peter after he had the great catch, and he was over here working on those nets and mending the nets to get ready. Hey, he wanted Jesus to hang around. Let's go fish. Hey, you'll go fishing tomorrow, Jesus? I would have been asking the same thing, wouldn't you? Let's go fishing tomorrow. What time you want to go? I'll put it down. But here's what Jesus said. Instead of scheduling another fishing day, he said, come on and follow me. Do you have enough, Peter, to see who I am, to know who I am, that you're willing to believe in me enough to get up and to follow me where I'm wanting you to go. Peter didn't have a clue where God was going to lead him, where the Lord was going to lead him, but he knew that Jesus was saying, follow me. So that is the moment that Peter decided in his heart, I believe you to be exactly who you say you are. I believe you to be the Son of the living God, the firstborn Son of the living God, and I'm just going to get up and drop these nets, and I'm going to follow you. That's what knowing God is not just hearing about Him or having memorized some of the stories in the Bible, but to believe in Him is knowing Him and understanding Him. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Know Him today, because I'm gonna give you fair warning if you don't realize it already. Christianity is under fire. Believers in the living God are being challenged every day in our society. Amen. The world wants us to go to sleep and not worry about it. The world wants us to think that, oh, in time, it's all going to get back to normal again. It's all going to be okay. I don't know that we're promised that. I don't know if we're guaranteed things are going to get easier for those that believe in Jesus Christ. You see every day how things are escalating and getting to a point to where eventually, we're going to be noted as a hate crime if we say, read certain passages of scriptures from the Bible. Come on! We got to know God. We got to know who He is, and we got to believe in Him as our Lord and Savior, and we got to be willing to stand up and be counted. It's not that I have the power to make anyone change as much as I've got to answer for me. And you've got to answer for you. I know that my salvation is not going to come in question when I get to heaven, when I stand before Christ in that beam of judgment, because I'm not going to be a part of the great white throne judgment for those that are lost and undone without Christ. I know my salvation is not going to come in question, but everything that I've done or not done after that moment of salvation will be questioned. It will be tested and tried by fire. And I think, what am I going to be able to lay before the feet of my Savior in that day? Am I going to be able to take a little cup like that full of jewels and gems and precious stones? Here, Lord, that's about all I was able to gather up while I was down there on earth. Sorry. I know I should have done better. I want one of them dump trucks full, like Ryan was talking about, that Paul and them y'all brought. I want a dump truck full of stuff to dump down at the feet of Jesus. That's what we need to be thinking about as Christians, as believers in Jesus. If you know Him, you don't have any more time than you have right now to serve Him. I don't know how many days we have left. I don't know how many more opportunities I have to let the world understand that I know God and I believe in Jesus and I trust in Him. We got to know who He is. Verse 16 of chapter 10 talks about being stiff-necked. He said, don't be stiff-necked. Circumcise the foreskin of this piece of flesh inside of that old heart and be no more stiff-necked. The word stiff-necked here means difficult, harsh, stubborn, and cruel. What does that define? Well, literally that just defines the world, doesn't it? That's what the world is. The world is stubborn, it's selfish, it's cruel. The world wants to get everything it can from us. The world is stiff-necked. And he's saying, don't be stiff-necked. I think what he's trying to tell us, what God wanted Moses to relate to that young group, is that don't be like them. That's what he's basically saying. By saying don't be stiff-necked, be like me and don't be like this world. When the Hebrews made their way into that promised land and they came up on Jericho, first city that they faced when they came into that land of promise. What did Rahab say? She said something that was very interesting. Here's what she said. When those spies came in to spy out Jericho, she said, oh, we heard about you all a long time ago. We've heard what your God has done to other kingdoms that opposed you. They've been terrified of the Hebrews for 40 years. Why? Because they knew there was something different about these people. They knew these people were different and unique to anybody on the face of the earth. Now, I know we don't naturally want to stand out. But I don't think you have to just stand out to be different. I don't have to be, you think you have to be somebody that seems like a weirdo or somebody that is loud and obnoxious. No, that's how the world is. We can be different and make a stand for the cause of Christ without having to be seen and heard by everybody. I think it's in those small things that we do. You know, when you're given a choice in life, you're given opportunities day by day, it's those little things that we seize and take advantage of that lets those people around us that we work with know, hey, there's something different about them. If I could have anything said about me by somebody in passing, it would be that. It would be, there's something different about him in a good way, not in a weird way. Something different about that guy. I want to be that person that when I'm around somebody else, especially for the first time, or if it's somebody that I have a meal with or somebody I cross paths with, I want to be that person that makes a positive, lasting impact on that life. And I don't have to be loud to do that. I don't have to be obnoxious to do that. You know what we have to do? We have to not be stiff-necked, but be like Jesus is what we got to do to make that impact. It can be subtle. It can be something that we can just say a kind word. You ever talk to somebody when you're out, maybe at a restaurant or wherever you're at, and you just say, hey, good to meet you. Maybe you're going to meet them for just that moment. That's the only time you're ever going to meet them. And in passing, have you ever thought to say, is there anything that I can pray for you and your family about, anything on your heart that as I get back and in my quiet time that I can pray for you? I mean, that's non-threatening, and man, what an impact. That's something they're going to take home with them. Wow, somebody thought enough about me. They don't even know me, but somebody thought enough about me to want to pray for me. There is something different about that person. There are so many simple ways that we can be effective and powerful for the kingdom of God. We just need to be different. And you know, if we pray and we say, God, show me some ways that I can be different, you know what God will do? He'll show you some ways you can be different in this world. He'll show us and teach us things that we can do that'll have a great impact on those lives around us. So don't be stiff-necked. Be godly. Verse number 2 of chapter 11 says, and know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His stretched out arm. Now, scoot down to verse number 7 of Deuteronomy 11. It also says, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which He had done. That's where we're at today, isn't it? That's the verse I pulled from, the scriptures I pulled from to think about. We're here on this 14-year anniversary. He said there's some little ones that were born that can't remember the Red Sea. Some little ones that were born after that weren't there when God first sent down the manna, when we first left Egypt. Only those 20 years and younger were able to remember those things. In 40 years, a lot of babies had been born and the population had grown. So a lot of those little ones weren't aware of that. But he said, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the part of this group that was there, he's saying. I want you to remember those things that God had done. Reflect on how God had provided for you. That sea opened up, brother, and it was open all night long so that everybody could pass from one side to the other. I know I've talked about it a lot. That's one of those things I wished I could have seen is the Red Sea open up. How amazing that must have been. And some people estimate it to be 6-8 hours that the sea was held so that everybody could cross over onto the other side. And what an amazing thing. God reminded me of something years later, even though I wasn't there at the parting of the Red Sea. He said, do you believe it? I said, absolutely, I believe it happened. Well, it's just as if you were there then, because I believe with all of my heart that that happened. So those that didn't come over with us to where we're at today, I don't want you to feel left out. Well, I wasn't over here when they put those Bibles in the corners, Ryan, and poured them. I wasn't here when you prayer walked through the church and prayed over every room that was going to be utilized in here. I wasn't here the day you put those scriptures. And by the way, mine's right here under where my feet are at. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I wasn't here when you did those things. I don't want you to feel left out. Why? Because even though we're celebrating the past, we're looking forward to the future. I want you to know that you're here for a reason and for a purpose. You're here because God has put us together. You know, we're just a hodgepodge, mixed mass lot that God has thrown together. But God wants to utilize every gift that you have, that we have collectively, to let this community know that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And we got to get on board with that and believe that, and God's going to make it happen. Reflect on the things you are a part of. Reflect on what you've seen. Have you been exhausted by working Camp Cove before? Amen. Well, then you're there. You're a part of the number. You know what it's like to go home tired because you've been chasing around 130 kids all afternoon. But it's good, isn't it? It's good to see that God is effective and God is working and God is providing. God's still saving souls. How wonderful it is to know God does have a plan for us, and we just got to believe in Him and trust in Him. And reflect on those things He has done. Don't lose sight of in the past. Well, God, are you with us now? Absolutely, God's with us now. What did He tell Joshua? He said, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, just as I was with Moses. I will be with you. He told His disciples, I'll be with you always to the end of the world. I will be with you. He is with us now. He has never left us. Brings us to verse number 13 and 14 of Deuteronomy chapter number 11. And it shall come to pass that if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in His due season. The rain, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil. I want to define the word hearken right here, because it's important we understand what He means. He said, if you'll hearken to my word. Hearken here means to hear. We talked about the difference between hearing, just hearing something, and listening. He said to hear, to listen, and to obey is what this word hearken means. It's more than just letting something come in one ear and out the other. He said, you got to hearken. You got to hear what I'm saying. You got to listen to what I'm telling you. And then you obey what I'm telling you. If we hearken to the Word of God, then here's what He said. You're going to get the rain in due season. You're going to get exactly what you need when you need it. That's what due season is all about. Due season means at the right and the appropriate time. God will provide everything that we need when we need it if we believe and trust Him and obey Him. That's where we're at. That's the choice we have to make today. I thought about Elisha. When Elijah came by and talked to him, and that's kind of a weird little story, isn't it? Of how Elijah came by and he knew that he was going to kind of set Elisha up to be the next prophet, because Elijah's days were numbered. He knew that. And he said, I'm going to be taken up in the whirlwind. I'm out of this. I'm out of here. I'm leaving it with you. So he came by and he put his mantle, his jacket or cloak, on Elisha while Elisha was plowing the field, and he just took off walking. I don't know that he said a word to him. The Bible doesn't say that if he did. And Elisha's over here plowing, and the cloak comes on him, and he's like, and there goes. He knew who Elijah was. Well, he stopped plowing. He went running over to Elijah. Elijah, what's going on? Let me run home and say bye to Mom and Dad. Let me finish this row over here so we can get the corn going over here, or whatever he might have said. And Elijah said, I don't have anything to do with that. It has nothing whatsoever to do with me. I just put the cloak on because I was told to by the Lord. The rest is between you and Him. You know what he did? He went back and had a feast with after he slaughtered the oxen. He knew he was done plowing fields. He knew he was headed somewhere else, and he had a different plan and a different goal, and God had a different vision for him. And he jumped on board with that. What does that mean to us today? It means that we've got to be willing to put on the mantle. We've got to put the mantle on. And we've got to quit worrying about things, trying to be concerned about trivial things. We need to be concerned about lost souls, about people that are dying every day without Jesus Christ and going to hell. We need to embrace the mantle. We need to put it on. We need to be this generation that's sitting around. I kind of envision Moses up here standing, maybe sitting on a big rock because he's old like me, and he's sitting up here. He's got all those young people gathered around. He's, you know, story time. And I can just see him talking to those young people about how things were. And he's saying, yeah, these are some great things that God did with some of your parents, some of you that are already older now. You remember those things? But he's saying, listen, God wants you now to step up and assume that role. God did those things in the past, but those things are in the past. Now God's talking to you, and it's your time to stand up and to be counted for the kingdom of God. I think that's what God's telling us. That's what He's telling me. I get excited when I get up and I see the sun shining outside. I get excited feeling that warm air. I get to thinking about the things that God's going to do now, the opportunities that we're going to have. I'm believing this year to be a great year for the kingdom of God, a great opportunity. It's up to us if we want to be a part of that or not. Do you want to be a part of it? Do you?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. And I wouldn't care if everybody is in the altar to pray about what God's fixing to do. God will take care of the COVID. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's have prayer, and then let's get up here and pray together. Father, I'm so thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be a part of what you're doing. I'm so excited about the vision, God, that you have for the church. I don't even know what it is, but God, I'm so thankful and I'm so excited that you are stirring the hearts of people, that you have a lot of work to be done, and you need laborers. Help us today, God, to get on our face before you and declare, we want to be on that team. We want to be one of those laborers. We want to wrap that mantle around us, whatever it is, and follow you. We want to drop those nets as Peter did and say, I'm going to follow you right now. God, help us to do that. Be with us and give us strength in Jesus' name. Amen.